Sports Central.
That is one of the best tries you will ever see in a test match.
Rugby Union.
And it's worked so well, Hodge. Folau must be this time, surely. Reece Hodge scores.
Yeah, mate, it was a really pleasing win for us. And I think the most pleasing side of it was our defence. You know, to score a couple of tries off the back of building up pressure and defending well shows that we've been working hard and the reward is there. And that's what we want to look to improve every week on this tour. I think it's been it's an accumulation of a lot of things. You know, we've been working really hard, both attack and defence. And, you know, it was good for the outside backs to score some good tries tonight, but also, you know, that build up in pressure and defending for multi phases and then getting that turnover is pleasing. And, you know, there's a patch in that game where probably we could have done better and we could have applied more pressure. But in saying that, it was a well-rounded performance and, you know, a great start to this tour.
Yeah, the voice of Bernard Foley, 12 points, man of the match. He was terrific. Nice way to start their Northern Hemisphere tour for the Wallabies, heading to a tough venue in Cardiff Millennium Stadium, where the Welsh sing better than just about anyone else. Stephen Hall's Fox Sports was watching on. That's a pretty good scoreline for the Wallabies in a very tough year, Stephen, 32-8.
Yeah, good afternoon, Brett. It is a great scoreline. It's a good start to the tour, and hopefully they can build from that. There's a lot of good things out there in Cardiff, and it's an amazing place to watch and play Test Rugby. Cardiff, as you said, the Welsh are singing the whole game. It's a really good occasion. So hopefully that's, as I said, a really good start for their spring tour.
Yeah, I went for a tour of Millennium Stadium many years ago. It is one hell of a venue. I think it's sort of like a bigger version of Etihad Stadium, up around, I think, 70,000 it can hold, and that real cauldron feel. So you certainly feel intimidated if you're the opposition. But what did you like about the Wallabies in particular, Stephen, and their win?
Yeah, we just heard from Bernard Foley, so again, he was named man of the match, and rightly so. I'm really liking... I did like the combination early in the season, Quaid and Bernard Foley. I thought there was glimpses of progress there, but they've gone back to Bernard at number 10, and that's his preferred position. Probably the fact as well that he had Nick Phipps as his halfback. I know that Wilgenius had an outstanding season, but he wasn't available because of his commitments to his French side in Paris over the weekend, but we'll get Guinea back later for the tour. But I like Bernard Foley, Nick Phipps, also Reece Hodge and Adam Coleman, Rory Arnold, the second row. So the combinations that are really important for the Wallabies is always going to be that 9, 10, 12. And for me, the second row, that's one where we've been searching for the last couple of years to try and identify our starting 4 and 5. And I think we've actually gone close to that. Adam Coleman and Rory Arnold are both, you know, debutants this year, and they're improving each week, so there's some good signs for the Wallabies.
Yeah, they've got Scotland next at Murrayfield. So what do you expect from that game in terms of the opposition in comparison? Of course, we've got games against France, Ireland and England to come over the next month.
Yeah, look, without trying to take anything away from that win against the Welsh, there was three key forwards out for the Welsh. I think probably three of their best. They're Lock, Alan Wynne-Jones, their captain Warburton, and Charlie Faletau, their number eight. So they were missing for the Welsh, and that certainly made it an easier game for the Wallabies. So typically you'd probably say, you know, Scotland are sit a little bit behind Wales, but I'd probably say the game against Scotland this weekend will be tougher than the one they just encountered, and you want it to be that way. And again, I think everyone's talking Grand Slam, and it's really easy to get caught up in talking about winning those four games, but you've just got to give yourself a chance and get to the fourth game undefeated. So Scotland's always going to be the danger game for us, because that's the one where everyone probably thinks they should win easily, but it's not going to be the case.
No, absolutely not. Wales take on Argentina next. They certainly took Japan to the sword in Tokyo last night, 54-20, piled on plenty of points.
Yeah, well, the Argies, that's the thing with the Argentinian side. They've got this style of football that's a bit like Harlem Globetrotters. When it works for them, it's near unstoppable, and that's what happened last night against the Japanese. They got on a roll, and they can get points better than anyone. So, yeah, it's a good time of year to follow rugby, because you get it's probably the best time of year to get an accurate read on where the teams sit, because in that June series, England come out having recently played together. Our boys jump out of Super Rugby straight into a Wallaby jersey, and it's a little bit of a lack of preparation. But this time of year, most teams get to spend a couple of weeks together prior to playing in these comps. So you see the Irish get their first ever win against the All Blacks in Chicago. Like, it's that's probably the upset of the decade in rugby. So the Irish have never beaten the All Blacks in 105 years of rugby. So that
take us through what happened there, Stephen.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to see the game because of the coverage. So I was watching live. Sorry, I was following live on Twitter. But Ireland jumped out to a huge lead. The All Blacks in the second half put two or three quick tries together, and everyone thought, oh no, it's going to happen again, because 2 years ago in Lansdowne Road, Ryan Crotty, the All Black centre, scored after the bell, and they kicked a goal to win that game. But that goal that they kicked, I think the first one missed, but because one of the Irish players made noises on his charge to shut down the kick, they got a second kick. So the All Blacks got two kicks at a couple of years ago, kicked the goal and won the game. So this game was, as I said, the country has never beaten, the Irish have never beaten the All Blacks. And only a month ago, an Irish rugby legend and the coach of Munster, which is one of the main provinces in, in Ireland, Anthony Foley, passed away in his sleep the night before a game. And he's an absolute legend of Munster and Ireland rugby, former number eight. So the Irish team faced the haka in the shape of a number eight. It was a really touching tribute. And yeah, it's one of those games where, as I said, I haven't seen it yet, but you just, every now and then you get a game like that, and it's the beauty of sport, isn't it?
Well, I think 2016 will be remembered for the underdog in sport getting up. It's just flowed on. Maybe there's another chapter of that to come as well. Thank you, Stephen. Really appreciate it. We'll catch you on Fox Sports, and nice start for the Wallabies last night.
Thanks, Brett. Have a good weekend.